Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Friday morning, September 23rd, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This is Wayne Floyd, your host. And we are gathering together here. We've made it to the end of the week. That's always a plus. Shoot, waking up every morning is a plus sometimes. But we've made it to the end of the week. Podcast here is focused on the public reading of the Word of God, as well as we read through some Puritan prayers out of the Valley of Vision, and we work our way through the morning articles, the morning pieces from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for whichever the particular day is. So let's go ahead and get started. I don't have anything specific to talk on today. I'll probably ramble later on, but we'll go ahead and get rolling. So as has become our regular practice for our episodes, we start out with the Puritan prayers. The Puritan prayers are just great. So everything I'm going to read through is in the show notes. There's links in the show notes to where you can find them online. But I would definitely recommend, I've also included links there where you can find and purchase these resources as well. And I would definitely recommend getting the hard copy, but I'll definitely have to confess I do not yet have a hard copy of the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the Bible we read from, because we read through it because it is the most recent and the most texturally accurate translation of the scriptures, therefore what we need to be reading from. Though honestly, I do a lot of studying and I preach from the NASB 95, which is where the Legacy Standard Bible based on. That's where it built on from. So both are very, very solid. ESV is a good one as well. And honestly, because I grew up in it, I have a tendency towards enjoying the King James. Not trying to bash any of them, and all of those are pretty solid. There's a bunch of others that are not, and I maybe some episode we'll talk about that. But I would definitely recommend getting hold of the hard copies. Like I said, I don't have an LSB yet. I've been looking at prices and trying to figure out which one I want and which one my wife and I want to have in the house. We have a lot of Bibles in the house, a lot from different translations, but that is one we don't yet have. But definitely put the links in there so you can read along with me if that helps you. But again, we go through the Puritan prayers here at the beginning to kind of get our minds focused in the right place. And I always start with these first two prayers, resting on God and grace in trials. These two have been a great benefit to me. I mean, the whole book of Valley of Vision is a great, those prayers that the Puritans put so much thought and so much effort into being biblically minded, being Christ minded, being God minded, and thus praying that way. They're definitely a great guide to us, which is why I read through them. But resting on God and grace and trials have definitely been a plus for me in some tough times. They help remind me that God has ordained what is happening out there, whether I understand it or not. And if I'm one of his children, if I'm saved, he has ordained it for my good. I may not understand why, because in a lot of cases, what ends up being for our good, we're sitting there going, because it makes no sense to us. But down the road, it will. I can honestly look back on my life and see things that I thought were just the end of the world, but actually came out for my good. Honestly, had some of those things not happened, I would not have met my wonderful bride and gotten married 31 years ago in 5 days, 31 years ago, nor would I have two wonderful sons that I love dearly and a daughter-in-law and now a grandson. So, you know, but back then, it was the end of the world. Had no idea, did not understand, and honestly, at that point, was not saved. But I'm able to look back now. So these two prayers tend to help remind me of that, and that's why I read through them each morning, and that's why I'm reading through them here in hopes that they will help you as well. I mean, our world is crazy out there. You and I both know that. All you got to do is watch 5 minutes of the news in any one day, and you know that. So I hope that these two prayers, and then of course we'll read the prayer of the day. Today's the sixth day of the week, so we'll read the sixth day morning prayer. But I would definitely recommend there's a sixth day evening prayer for Spurgeon's morning and evening. There is an evening devotional. That's why I would recommend get hold of the hard copies, or if you don't even do that online, you can then read the sixth day evening prayer, or whichever day it is, the evening prayer. You can read through Spurgeon's evening devotionals, and I would definitely, it will benefit you. I say that with pure confidence. So, and a big part of the doing the reading the scripture, public reading of scripture, is to immerse you more and more in the Word of God. And I do it to immerse myself. And I'll tell you straight up, what I'm doing here with you, this is a cold read. I'm doing this, and I'm not saying that for you to go, oh, wow. I'm saying that I'm sharing this part of my morning devotional with you, because it's that important to me, and I hope it's that important to you. We've got to be enmeshed and immersed in the Word of God. We have to be. That is the only way for those of us that are already saved. That is what shapes and molds and directs us and equips us. As I say, equips and edifies us. And I say that, and those words are important. I don't just spit them out because they come to mind. They are necessary. That it prepares us to walk in to walk through our walk of sanctification, to grow more and more to resemble Christ. That's what we're called to. We have to walk more and more to resemble Christ, to resemble God, to be imitators of them. And we've got to do that in this world. We're called to bring the gospel to all nations. Matthew, and I know I've quoted this before, Matthew 28:19-20. We're called to bring the gospel to all the world. And the way we do that is by walking like Christ. But this is also for the non-Christian, for somebody who's not yet saved, like I wasn't. What is it? So over 15 years ago, I was not saved. You know, I was almost 40 years old and not saved. But even then, more and more immersion in the scripture, more and more being buried in the Word of God, more and more prayer prepares your soul, prepares your heart, that heart of stone, prepares you for the Holy Spirit to come and regenerate. Not that it's any work of your own. Please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing we can do to bring ourselves to salvation, but we are called to be daily in the scripture. We're called, Paul makes it clear, to pray constantly, to be praying constantly, which makes us ready in God's good time to send the Holy Spirit to us and bring us to a saving faith. And honestly, that is my biggest prayer, my biggest desire, is that whether you listen to me or not or anything else, that you come to a saving faith in Christ. You give family members that are sick and whatever. I've had family members who are sick, have issues, whatever, over time. My biggest prayer for them, and it's true for my wife and I both, our prayer is that they come to a saving faith in Christ. Then, yes, we would hope they would be healed. But coming to a saving faith in Christ is more critical. It truly is, because that is what determines your eternity. All right. So let's go ahead and get rolling now that I've rambled for 8 minutes. Let's go ahead and get rolling this morning. So we're going to start, as I said before, we're going to start with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond. Thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee. Every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. Now, grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now, sixth day morning, it's called the Gospel. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy goodness is infinite, thy compassions unfailing, thy providence boundless, thy mercies ever new. We bless thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. All right, I'm going to take a sip of tea here. I didn't break out my coffee this morning. Thought I'd have some tea here. Make sure I get my, though I'm not drinking it yet, I'm drinking Earl Grey, but some turmeric ashwagandha we got hold of. I have two knees that are bone on bone. They're actually more than bone on bone. I'm at the point that I've worn down the cartilage that coats the end of your bone. So I'm truly bone on bone in both of them. I still walk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being wheeled around in a wheelchair though. Sometimes I wish I was, but, the we got this a couple of weeks ago. We'd gone into a Sprouts, and no, we're not pretentious or anything. We were just looking for something a little more organic. Trying to get rid of some of the stuff in our, because some issues my wife has and stuff, trying to get rid of some of the processed things, and came across this tea. And it, if you drink it a couple of times a day, two or three times a day, it seems to be helping my knees a little bit. It's not healing them, but it makes things more bearable. And that's definitely a plus. Because the anti-inflammatories they have for me are just not doing the job anymore. So here's praying that, I can get myself to a point where the doctor will go ahead and replace these knees and become the bionic man. And some of you, if you're too young, will not get that reference, but whatever. So let's go ahead with the, Spurgeon morning and evening with the morning, article for September 23rd. The scripture for today is Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What a state of privilege. It includes our justification before God, but the term acceptance in the Greek means more than that. It signifies that we are objects of divine complacence, nay, even of divine delight. How marvelous that we, worms, mortals, sinners, should be the objects of divine love. But it is only in the beloved some Christians seem to be accepted in their own experience. At least that is their apprehension. When their spirit is lively and their hopes bright, they think God accepts them, for they feel so high, so heavenly minded, so drawn above the earth. But when their souls cleave to the dust, they are the victims of the fear that they are no longer accepted. If they could but see that all their high joys do not exalt them, and all their low despondencies do not really depress them in their Father's sight, but that they stand accepted in one who never alters, in one who is always the beloved of God, always perfect, always without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, how much happier they would be, and how much more they would honor the Savior. Rejoice then, believer, in this. Thou art accepted in the beloved. Thou lookest within, and thou sayest, there is nothing acceptable here, but look at Christ, and see if there is not everything acceptable there. Thy sins trouble thee, but God has cast thy sins behind his back, and thou art acceptable in the righteous one. Thou hast to fight with corruption, and to wrestle with temptation, but thou art already accepted in him who has overcome the powers of evil. The devil tempts thee. Be of good cheer. He cannot destroy thee, for thou art accepted in him who has broken Satan's head. Know by full assurance thy glorious standing. Even glorified souls are not more accepted than thou art. They are only accepted in heaven in the beloved, and thou art even now accepted in Christ after the same manner. Amen. That devotion, if nothing else, ought to give you, especially if you're saved, ought to give you such a sense of peace, such a sense of comfort. Because no matter how disgustingly gross we are, and I include myself in that, and I've mentioned it before, but I got a brother in Christ, a friend out there, who I love dearly, and his email address is fetidpondscum, because that's how he sees himself, as a sinner. And that's the right view. We have to know in all humility that we are fetid pond scum, that we are the lowest of the low. I mean, you watched Paul, and I think I brought it up before, because one of the chapters we read through, he actually goes through a trilogy where he says he goes from the least of the apostles to the least of sinners, meaning the worst of the sinners. That he progresses down through a couple of different letters, but you see him to the point where he indicates that he is the worst of sinners. He is the least worthy of ever being saved, yet he knows he's saved. That's you and me. I mean, it truly is, if we are saved, and that's you if you're unsaved, and I don't say that to be insulting, because that was me if I'm unsaved. I was not saved by any goodness in myself, not in any way, shape, or form. No matter what I thought of myself, or no matter what supposed people around me thought of myself, I was a disgusting, repugnant sinner saved by grace. And I think that's why, honestly, the doctrine of the total depravity of man is something that has hit so hard with me. And it was actually a paper I wrote for a Baptist Baptist history class that I took through Founders Ministry. I wrote it on the total depravity, and I had so much information, I had to trim it down to get within the page limit for the paper, because it so touches my heart, because it was the conviction of that which brought me to the humility point that I hit my knees and brought me to saving faith in Christ. And it was from a couple of videos by a man. And if you can find those videos, I would definitely recommend you go watch it. They're by Ray Comfort. It's Living Waters Ministries, I think is what it's called. It's Living Waters, but I think it's Living Waters Ministries. But it's True and False Conversions and Hell's Best Kept Secrets. And those two videos, my wife showed them to me. She had already been saved and she was driving me nuts. But it put me on my knees and showed me how atrocious I really was and would always be outside of the grace of God. And that's what I want you to, that's the gospel. That's what I want you to know. That in spite of that, and again, there's no amount of pretty clothing you can put on yourself unless you are draped in the righteousness of Christ, which comes from being regenerate, comes from being saved, comes from being given a new heart by the Holy Spirit. You'll never be good enough, ever. None of us will. Okay, sorry. Went on a digression there, but it's Spurgeon's devotionals. That's why I say get a hard copy and stay in Spurgeon's devotionals, both the morning and the evening. They are that good. All right, let's go ahead and get going with our reading. So we're 2 Samuel 19, 2 Corinthians 12, Ezekiel 26, and Psalm 74. So 2 Samuel 19. All right. Then it was told to Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourns for Absalom, and the salvation that day was turned to mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, 'The king is grieved for his son.' So the people stole away to enter into the city that day, as people who are dishonored steal away when they flee in battle. But as for the king, he wrapped his face up. Then the king cried out with a loud voice, 'O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son.' Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, 'Today you have shamed the faces of all your servants, who today have provided escape for your life and the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, by loving those who hate you and by hating those who love you. For you have informed all of us today that princes and servants are nothing to you. For I know this day that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead today, surely then it would be right in your eyes. So now arise, go out and speak to the heart of your servants. For I swear by Yahweh, if you do not go out, surely not a man will pass the night with you. And this will be of greater evil for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth until now.' So the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told all the people, saying, 'Behold, the king is sitting in the gate.' Then all the people came before the king. Now Israel had fled, each to his tent. And it happened that all the people were disputing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and provided us escape from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. However, Absalom, who we anointed over us, has died in battle. So now why are you silent about having the king return?' Now King David had sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, 'Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to have the king return to his house, while the word of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? You are my brothers, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to have the king return? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? May God do so to me and more also, if you will not be commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab.' Thus he inclined the hearts of all the men of Judah as one man. So they sent word to the king, saying, 'Return, you and all your servants.' The king then returned and came as far as the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal in order to go to meet the king, to cause the king to pass over across the Jordan. Then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, with Ziba, the young man of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept passing over the ford to cause the king's household to pass over, and to do what was good in his sight. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to pass over the Jordan. So he said to the king, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king went out from Jerusalem, so that the king would take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said, "Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the anointed of Yahweh?" David then said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." Thus the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, had come down to meet the king, and he had not done anything for his feet, nor done anything for his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. Now it happened when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" So he answered, "O my lord the king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame.' Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but men worthy of death before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you still speak of your affairs? I've decided, you and Ziba shall divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come in peace to his own house." Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he passed over the Jordan with the king in order to send him off over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, "You pass over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I yet to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I know between good and bad? Or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely pass over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant Chimham. Let him pass over with my lord the king, and do for him what is good in your sight." So the king answered, "Chimham shall pass over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight. And whatever you require of me, I will do for you." Then all the people passed over the Jordan, and the king passed over too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, accompanied the king. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why had our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away, and caused the king and his household, and all David's men with him, to pass over the Jordan?" Then all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is a close relative to us. Why then are you angry about this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has anything been taken for us?" But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 parts in the king, therefore we also have more claim on David than you. Why then did you treat us with contempt? Was it not our word first to have our king return?" Yet the words of the men of Judah were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. All right, and now we're going to read 2 Corinthians 12. It is necessary to boast, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except in weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this, so that no one will consider me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions and hardships, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even if I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were worked out among you with all perseverance, by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as less than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for this 3rd time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children ought not to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will most gladly spend and be fully spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Have I taken advantage of you, through any of those whom I have sent to you? I encouraged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Did Titus take any advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit, in the very same steps? All this time you think we are defending ourselves to you. We speak in Christ, in the sight of God, and all these things, beloved, are for your building up. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. All right, Ezekiel 26. It's a prophecy against Tyre. Now it happened in the 11th year, on the 1st of the month, that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, Aha, the gateway of the peoples is broken. It has opened to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am against you, O you Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. They will make the walls of Tyre a ruin and pull down her towers, and I will scrape her dust from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares Lord Yahweh, and she will become plunder for the nations. Also her daughters who are on the mainland will be killed by the sword, and they will know that I am Yahweh. For thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, horsemen, and an assembly, a great number of people. He will kill your daughters on the mainland with the sword, then he will make siege walls against you, cast up a ramp against you, and raise up a large shield against you. The blow of his battering rams he will direct against your walls, and with his swords he will tear down your towers. Because of the abundance of his horses, the fine dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of horsemen and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates, as men enter a city that is breached. With the hoofs of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also, they will make a spoil of your wealth and a plunder of your merchandise, and pull down your walls and tear down your desirable houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. So I will cause the tumult of your songs to cease, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You will be a place for the spreading of nets. You will be built no more, for I, Yahweh, have spoken, declares Lord Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh to Tyre, shall not the coastlands shake at the sound of your downfall, when the wounded groan, when the killing occurs in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be appalled at you. They will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited one, from the seas, O city that was praised, which was strong on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands will tremble on the day of your downfall. Yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be dismayed at your departure. For thus says Lord Yahweh, when I make you a city laid waste, like the cities which are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters over you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you inhabit the lower parts of the earth, like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited, but I will set glory in the land of the living. I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares Lord Yahweh. All right. And Psalm 73. Why, O God, have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, and this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Lift up your steps toward the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. Your adversaries have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their own signs by four signs. Each seems like one who lifts up an axe against the undergrowth of trees. And now its carved work altogether they smash with hatchet and hammers. They have set your sanctuary on fire. By bringing it to the ground, they have defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their heart, let us completely subdue them. They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. Nor is there any among us who knows how long. How long, O God, will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy spurn your name forever? Why do you turn back your hand, even your right hand, from within your bosom, destroy them? Yet God is my King from of old, who works deeds of salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the desert. You split open spring and river. You dried up ever-flowing rivers. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have established the light and the sun. You have caused all the boundaries of the earth to stand firm. You have formed summer and winter. Remember this, O Yahweh, that the enemy has reproached and a wickedly foolish people has spurned your name. Do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your afflicted forever. Look to the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the haunts of violence. Let not the oppressed return dishonored. Let the afflicted and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and plead your own cause. Remember how the wicked fool reproaches. Remember how the wicked fool reproaches you all day long. Do not forget the voice of your adversaries, the rumbling of those who rise against you, which ascends continually. Amen. And that is our reading for the day. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. I will definitely do my best to be back tomorrow morning and for us to continue on with our reading. Honestly, I've actually thought about I may actually record it tonight, so it may not be live. I may record it tonight so that I make sure that it's out there tomorrow morning. I may do Sundays as well, pre-record it, because it's a little tough to fit all those in with everything else trying to do. And my wife and I have a bunch of stuff we need to do tomorrow morning. So we'll see how that goes, but I'll definitely do what I can to make sure I have a podcast out tomorrow and Sunday morning as well. So we keep going with our reading. Though I prefer to do it live. That way you and I are sharing in our morning devotionals. I feel like that for me, even that's important, but we'll see how that goes. But I hope you have a wonderful day today and a wonderful weekend. And that God would definitely bless you. I would definitely encourage you, in case you don't listen over the weekend. I have a tendency with some podcasts, I just don't listen over the weekend because I can't fit them in. But if you don't listen to me tomorrow or Sunday morning, I definitely encourage you, please worship with the body of believers. If you are physically able, please find a body of believers and worship with it. It is critical. And I know it's hard sometimes to find a good, solid church. I've mentioned the Church Finders before. the Master Seminary, I believe, has a finder where you can find graduates and where they are preaching, where they happen to be the pastors. Founders Ministry also has a church finder. And that is definitely a helper as well. You can go Google those. I'm giving you the names. You can go Google those and try to find, solid churches, solid pastors. That's definitely a plus. But please worship with the saints. Please go out there and worship with the family of Christ. It is critical. That interaction is critical. Zoom church, whatever, live stream church, isn't a substitute. It's not. No matter what anybody says, no matter how much the government tries to tell you that, it's not. And they don't know. The government doesn't know. They are not the experts on it. So they want, one, they don't know, and two, they don't have the right to tell us that that's enough. So just putting that out there. But again, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And if you don't listen over the weekend, I'll see you Monday, but hopefully I'll see you tomorrow morning. And let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we were able to get together this morning and share this devotional together. Lord, we would pray that it would equip us and edify us. It would lift us up and it would make us ready to walk in this day as imitators of you, as imitators of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would truly be that example, that witness in this world as to what you've called us to be, what it is to be a Christian, in hopes that more and more are saved. Lord, I know you've ordained from before the foundation of the earth who will be saved and who will not. And I don't say any of these things to override that as if I could. But Lord, you have called us to take your word and thus your witness to all the nations. And that means to any and everybody around us. Lord, we need to know that even those who in man's dots and in man's way, we would think are enemies, they're not enemies. They're our mission field. And Lord, I would pray that this time this morning has helped equip us better to again, be those witnesses, be those examples, and thus be able to take the gospel to all those that you've told us, you've directed us to. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great day and may God bless you. And please do all that you do to the glory of God. Have a great one.